God is good. Well, let's open the Bible to, where do we start today? My goodness. Let's open the Bible to 1 Chronicles, or 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to read something, just one verse real quickly, and we'll get back to it. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, Pastor Jim and Peggy are up in, most of you may know that they've been up visiting their daughter and son-in-law, Cara and Bill, up in Connecticut this week. And I think they're flying in today, flying home. Jim never used to fly on these trips. He always used to drive, you know, just get in. You know, Pastor Jim likes to drive anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Get out on the open road,
right.
You know. But, Peggy doesn't go for the long drives anymore. We're flying. You know, I'm going to spend all my time up there, not all my time getting there. So let's just thank God. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Jim and Peg as they're returning to us today. Thank you that you'd care for them and go with them and carry them safely to us again. We thank you for the blessing that they have received and that they have imparted there with their children and grandchildren in that place. Thank you that the grandchildren are blessed because their grandparents are examples of how to follow the Lord. So we just give you praise and glory and honor for that now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, or this week, obviously, you know, we in the natural, we kind of see the Bible being fulfilled. Anybody notice that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like those things which you hope for and believe in seem to be beaten up here in the natural by the things that we as believers hold to, and the Word of God and the power of God and the commandments of God. And first of all, I want to read our favorite scripture out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And we'll read more of it, but I just want to go to the straight to the one that we know. If my people, so you begin with that. If those bad people, it doesn't start with that, does it? If those bad people would just behave. If those bad people would just stop doing what they're doing. No, let's read this. It says, everybody read it with me. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, praise the Lord. So it's not up to the bad people. It's up to you and me. Amen? It's up to you and me to what?
Pray.
To pray, to believe. First of all, what?
Uh-huh.
To believe. You know, if you're not going to pray if you don't believe. You're not going to pray to God if you do not believe. Hebrews says, if anyone comes to God, he must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who casually seek him once in a while when you're in trouble. Though a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, I exercise about once a year. I don't know why my muscles aren't big, you know, and I don't know why I've got a gut on me. You know, I exercise at least once a year, you know, get out and walk around the block, you know. So what does it say? It says diligence, diligence, diligence. Peter talked about giving all diligence, add to your faith. You know, you can add to your faith by giving all diligence. To add goodness and faithfulness to your faith. It's diligence. Diligence what? In the promises of God. Where are his promises? Right, kind of right here. He wrote them down. It's pretty good that he wrote them down. You know, he actually wrote them down. You know, a lot of folks didn't have them written down for the longest time, you know, until Moses. It's a long time. There was a long time without the promises being written down. They were orally transmitted. But it was the promise of God that was transmitted to you. And so today, you know, with the view of all of the things that have taken place, when I say all, obviously we're, this week I'm talking about what happened in our Supreme Court here in this land, the land of God, the land of Goshen, the land of power and might and Jesus and the love of God. We have now a Supreme Court who is ruled by the who is ruled by the society. Amen? Ruled by the not only the society, because society, say in Texas, had a vote on the type of behavior that we're going to discuss here for a moment, is that sodomy and homosexuality had a vote that in this state, 76% voted for a constitutional amendment that said marriage is between a man and a woman. Let me refresh you if you're not aware that this week the Supreme Court decided a case, and their decision was that according to the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law, that all state laws stating that marriage is only between a man and a woman, all those laws are invalid. Now, anybody can get married. Didn't say just these people. It said, you know, marriage is, you know, for whoever decides they want to get married. So there was no law put in place. In fact, the Supreme Court can't make law. What they can do is declare and describe what the law says or doesn't say, and then that becomes law, de facto. That becomes law. It affects all laws in all states, because they base their court, they base their case and their decision, supposedly, or with whatever understanding they can bring, upon the Constitution or the amendments thereto. So we understand that decision is contrary to the Word of God. Amen. We understand that decision is contrary to what God has already put in place. Are we afraid?
No.
No, of course not. I mean, that's what did you expect?
Well, I thought the world would get better.
No. No, the world is not getting better. The world is not getting better. The world is actually falling apart. And of course, if you'll just read the rest of the Word of God, that in Revelation, it talks about the fact that you cannot depend on the fact that the world is going to be getting better. You know, thank goodness, you know, Jerry's seen a lot happen in the last few years. Amen? And things have changed a lot. Yeah, see, things have changed a lot. Things have, you know, my dad is 82, and he said things have changed.
Yeah.
You know, things have changed. And albeit, you know, he claims to be an independent. This is a little too independent. This decision is a little too independent for him. And but what most people end up with, and most people in the society end up with, as long as it doesn't come up and knock on my door, I'm okay. But the problem is these things affect everything. These things affect, you know, where your kids. You know, they affect how your kids, especially not these guys. These guys are already fixed and, you know, solid in the gospel. But the kids who are coming up have to be well taught. Because if you're in a society, have a flesh body that shows up in a flesh classroom, and they're going to say, okay, well, here's what's okay, and here's what's right, and here's what everybody's doing. Therefore, this is what you have to accept. And the fact is that we're not, the lie is that you and I hate somebody who sins. No, we can't do that, because we do, right? And this is not the only sin. There's lots of sin. And I do most of it. Amen? You know, and maybe that's the one I don't do, but, you know, the rest of them I'm pretty proficient at, right? Amen? I mean, you know, how many of you have, you know, out of a bucket of 20 sins, how many of you pretty much probably do 18? You know, I mean, seriously. Is that we're not immune to this thing, but what we do is recognize the fact that, first of all, it's wicked, evil, and we need assistance to be delivered from it. And that God, number two, that God has already made provision to deliver me from it. And number three is that I can live forever in the presence of God because of what He provided.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, I don't have to be cut off, you know, after the first, you know, 70 years and just live in the slave camp and live in death. I can live actually in peace, joy, and the love of God for eternity. In fact, I've already started.
Amen.
Anybody here? Have you already started? Yeah. You got to remember, when that decision came down, you went, but that's all. Amen? I mean, I've got politician friends who are just like, I mean, they are wound up. Of course, it's, again, in one sense, it's their job to be to change, to make a move and make a change to put a roadblock in front of it. You know, but when people get personally wound up and bent out of shape and not walking in love, but walking in hate, animosity, and such personal interior turmoil, that's not peace. Amen? So you and I need to walk in peace. Amen? Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
You get to walk in peace. No, I want to be mad. I want to be upset. I want to get worked up. Yeah, I could have thought about something else to preach about today, but I mean, here's the one that we got, you know, on our plate this morning, and I just believe the Lord wanted to speak to it. So let's look at it. And first of all, he says, if my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Now, you know, and then will I hear from heaven, heal their land. You know, this particular scripture is right on the heels of the dedication of the temple. That's what this is. Of Solomon's dedication of the temple. That's where this scripture falls. It is on the dedication of the temple. In 1st and 2nd in 2nd Chronicles chapter 7. If you read chapters 5 and 6, you see this is all about the dedication, the finishing of the temple, moving into the temple, you know, and that when they came into the temple, you look at chapter 7 verse 2. What's it say? And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Amen? Then we skip over to 14, but I don't necessarily remember that we always recognize that these are so close. And what God is talking about here is that if sin separates you from the presence of the Lord, if my people, and the land begins to suffer. This is just one of the most recent evidences that the land has begun to suffer, isn't it? Amen? The land has begun to suffer because of the moving in of evil, the moving in of abomination, the moving in of man deciding what he was going to do rather than following the voice of God. Amen? All right, now let's look at, kind of walk into this. Let's go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 2. Let's find out what God says about the whole circumstance. I didn't have enough markers, and I figured I could find Genesis 2 okay. So, can y'all find Genesis 2 okay?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to help you. No, I guess Genesis, it might help you in most Bibles. It's just by the time you get to the end, things are weird. My Bible is page 9, but I've got big print. On yours, it might be page 2. All right, chapter 2, verse 15. Let's look at that. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I'll just caveat this by saying, I know y'all have read most of these before. And it's kind of like, well, why is he preaching on this? You know, well, you know why. It's because these are the things that we come to the presence of God and we build up and encourage one another and we bring these things into the light, into the presence of God, because we all think. We have thinkers. We think. But it's good to come together as the body of Christ. That's what God calls us to do when he says on the first day of the week, you come together. So you come together to walk as one. Because you do have these flesh bodies and you do have these individual persons and personalities. But then we bring together one another to walk together in the Word of God. And so it's good for us to bring these things into the light and to share them and to understand what the Word of the Lord says. Then we can walk together. Amen? So verse 15, chapter 2 of Genesis, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. Okay, make note of that. I will make an help fit for him, meet for him. Correct, that's appropriate for him. And out of the ground God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to the man, to Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So platypus, you blame Adam for that one. Amen. Kangaroo. All right. Tyrannosaurus rex. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman. And he brought her to the man. Very interesting comment. From the rib that he had taken from the man, he made a woman. He didn't like make a choice or, you know, make choice A, B, and C. God decided, here's what man needs. Right? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Now, that wife is the woman. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right? So, we have there the how God set in motion the first family. All right? He set marriage in place. Man, woman. That's what he did. I mean, if you didn't have that before, hey, at least write the scripture down. Don't just say, "Hey, it's just this." You know, have the Word of God. Well, I don't buy the Word of God. Well, that's okay. It's been in print longer than you have been around. You know, it's been in force longer than you have been alive, or your grandfather, or whatever. So this is the historical traditional means by which you arrived. Very few of you arrived from in vitro fertilization in the way that some folks are now deciding, well, if it's two men or two women, they're going to be able to, you know, kind of do a little science experiment and create, you know, Johnny or Susie. All right? So that doesn't work. I mean, that's man working within the context of God's creation. However, it is not what God created. Amen? I mean, you arrived because of the mechanics of what God created. This is how God creates a society, men and women, man and a man and a woman, coming together, creating a child, creating children, multiple families coming together to create communities, and those communities creating cities and nations. That's how God creates. That's how God creates a society. He does not create a society. There's no fruit and no product when two men are together or two women are together. There's, again, you know, they try to work around it. But this is not God's plan. This is not God's means of production. Amen? Amen? You know, too much can go wrong. How many know too many things can go wrong with science? Amen. All right? So this is God's creation. This is the tradition, and this is the not just the tradition, but this is our history of our world, the history of our race. The race meaning human race. That is, you know, human beings. They, you know, it doesn't matter what brand or what race individually that you may be come from or may be a part of within that human species, is that this is how men and women are universal. Amen? You know, men and women are universal. And so this is how we survive. I mean, if you had no science, what if you had no electricity to mix it up? Amen? You know, if you had no electricity to mix up a little baby, you know, in a test tube, how are you going to have children? Well, the old-fashioned way. That's how God created it. That's how we began. Without electricity, I don't think that idea would fly. Amen? You can't do it and put it in the centrifuge. You can't make it happen. You know, God doesn't need it. You know, it's like the joke that says the guy decided he was going to learn how he was going to make a man. And he said, okay, let's see here. And he goes out to, it's God, I'm going to make a man. Well, are you really? Well, good, wonderful. Let me see that. I'd like to see this. And so the guy goes out and starts digging up the ground in a corner. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm getting some dirt. I'm getting some dust. He said, get your own dust. I mean, you know, God created you from nothing.
Yeah.
He created the dust. Amen?
Amen.
He created the dust. He created nothing. You know, so this is God. This is our beginning. This is our Genesis. It is the beginning of our life. The beginning of our existence is God. And He set it up. You know, you can't monkey with it. No pun intended. Well, sure, I guess there was a pun intended. But you can't monkey with it. You can't monkey with God's creation. All right, now let's look at chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle, sneaky, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, just casually, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I mean, talk about bringing something up. It's pretty obvious, you know. I mean, the only restriction you got is a tree. So now we're talking about, here comes this guy talking about trees. What? We know where this is going. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, there's a contradiction from God's command, isn't it? Amen? So anything that you have chosen to put your hand to that God said don't do it, you know, and the reason is he said don't do it is you'll die. Didn't say he's going to strike you down with a bolt of lightning. If you eat that tree, you will die. You know, people like to make God the bad guy, right? However, you know, honey, don't cross the street when the light's green. Well, why not, mommy? Ouch. Why do we have green lights and red lights? Don't. Protection. Don't go. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't poke that lion with a stick. You know, don't get close to that. Somebody here's got a pit bull, right? Don't get close to that sweet little doggy. We had one friend of one of our kids. He had a little Jack Russell named. Don't name your dog Nipper, okay? Don't name your dog Nipper. So he's playing with Nipper, and Nipper, he got down in Nipper's face, and all of a sudden Nipper, well, he became his namesake. I mean, it's right here. Don't, you know, just got him. Don't be doing that. Don't tempt what God said don't play with. Amen? But people do that. People decide they're going to do that, right? So we'll take a look at that in a minute. All right, let me get to the end of where I was going to go here. Okay. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. He said, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This is what the devil is telling. This is what the serpent is telling them. And woman, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. I just love this thing. Well, it was some kind of spiritual, this is some kind of, they talk about how people who like to discredit the Word of God like to discuss how, well, the tree was some kind of metaphysical or some kind of allegory, just an allegory of, you know, to keep people in bondage to, you know, what people wanted to keep them in bondage to. You know, here, obey us. We're God. We're going to tell you what to do and what not to do. And God will get you if you don't do what we say. So, but they made it out to be an allegory. I want you to read that verse again. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for what? Oops. It's not an apple allegory. It's actually good for food. You could actually look at it, grab it, and take a bite out of it. So God made it very simple. Don't eat that tree. It was not some idea that don't do stuff that'll make God mad. You don't know what it is. It's not like she ran. She actually tripped into a sneaky God saying, oops, you fell into the trap. Shouldn't have done that. I mean, we do that to other people, don't we? You know, we have traps, things that we don't want people to do. And somehow we don't tell them. We don't tell them that they're going to get bit or beaten or kicked or balled out. You know, it's just we respond because we didn't like it. Well, God's not like that. God's not like you, thank God. God's not like you. If he tells you not to do something, he's going to tell you what it is. Don't eat that tree. Make it very simple for you. Don't eat that tree. Makes it very easy. You know, God will say, don't do that. He'll say, do that. Do this. Amen? Do you know that? That God, you will hear God? I mean, here's Abraham, here's Moses, here's, you know, men of God throughout, women of God throughout the history heard God speak. Amen. God told them what to do and what not to do. Go here, don't go there. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Dummy. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Well, look, if you look back in chapter 2, verse 25, it said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And then all of a sudden, verse 7, by the time you get to verse 7, chapter 2, they're, oh my gosh, we're naked. Cover up. It's because now you realize it's up to you. Now you realize your holiness is up to you. Your holiness is not up to God. It's up to you. See, in the beginning, your holiness was up to God. Amen? Because you had a relationship with God. Here, now, all of a sudden, now that you're the arbiter of good and evil. When it says when you know good and evil, what that means is you will decide now what is good and evil. First of all, because you went and ate what God told you not to eat. You decided it was a good idea. God already told you it was a bad idea. Amen? And again, these things are not to come and catch you to catch people. Even the laws against sodomy and homosexuality are not to catch people. It's just to show you that you're in rebellion. You are rebelling against God. This is a rebellious activity. You know, it's not that God hates you. You know, he hates sin. Amen? So you and I are not hate-filled people, except for just in general. You know, just our general hatred of the person sitting next to us. Doesn't matter who it is or why we hate them. It's just, you know, they're not doing what I want, so I'm mad. But what God has said is we love every individual because you are, remember we talked the very first part of the morning about you are Jesus to somebody. You are the representative of the kingdom of heaven. You are Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Spirit to somebody. So what that means is you are a lover of those who are fallen away from God, aren't you? Huh? Amen. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 17, 18, or, you know, 75, 85, you know, or somewhere in the middle. You are a lover. That's who you are. That's what you do. Now, somebody wants to take this and twist it, because when you tell somebody that's you know, against God and that's evil, you know, you run into some resistance. Hey. You're going to run into some resistance because people like doing what they like doing. People are used to doing what they're used to doing. People get in the habit of doing what they're doing. Amen? Don't you? Yes. Yeah. How many of you get in the habit of sin? Amen? I mean, one sin or another, you just get in the habit of it. Right? And so what you want to do is go before the Lord and say, God, if there be any wicked way in me, cleanse it. Because then you begin to see the power of God working in you. You begin to see the power of God working in you just as you repent, that is, turn away, give God the opportunity to cleanse you. Amen? Instead of just keep walking along, He's, you know, desiring you, just like Jesus. I would have desired to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. How many of us, I do not, you know. God's after me. Well, I know what He wants. And so I'm, you know, in this one little caveat, one little pocket, you know, I'm, you know, kind of wanting to get away from Him, you know, because I know He's gonna kind of pull the plug on that thing. But the fact is, my mind is rebelling against God in that respect. Amen? Do you notice that you have your mind rebelling against God in one thing or another? And the enemy loves to put those things in pockets. He allows you, here's a pocket for this one, here's a pocket for this one. Well, you may be talking to God, but hopefully He won't look in this pocket, you know, or this one in here, you know, or this one down here, you know. Got all kinds of pockets. Anybody got pockets? You carry things around in, you're hoping God doesn't look there. Because that's a comfort item. It's where I keep my M&Ms, you know. You know, that's where I keep my, you ever heard of emergency chocolate? You know, they sell it. It's got a little red cross on it, emergency chocolate. They sell it at Cracker Barrel. I've never bought it. I think it's a girl thing. I think girls go for it. Any of y'all do that? Emergency chocolate? Emergency something? Gum?
Gum.
Emergency gum? Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, so all of these things are things that we keep. And so, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, you know, back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Okay, let's look over at Romans, okay, chapter 1. Are y'all familiar with that? Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. So the gospel served for everybody. The Jew plus everybody else. The Greek means Gentile, everybody else. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, listen, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So you've got the truth, but you reject it. Or you weasel away to get around it. Well, God is love. Yeah. But over here He said, don't do that. Because that which may be known of God is evident. The word manifest is evident in them, for God has showed it to them. It's manifest, and for God has showed it to them. God, I didn't know. No, God showed it to you. He put it on the inside of you. That's nature. That's the law of nature. God has put it on the inside of you. You know. Every man knows to seek God. God has put it on the inside of every man. He cannot get away from that. Because that's part of your DNA. It's part of your creation. You know, somebody can lie about it. Say, oh, no, I've never believed in God. I don't buy it. I don't believe you. You know, I think you're a liar. Well, and I'm right. So, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even because, see, now God just called that man a liar, didn't He? Huh? Verse 20, God says it. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us, even His eternal power and Godhead, even that, even the eternal existence of God and His power and His omnipresence, His omniscience, His everything, His omnipotence, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginings, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, and that's the wise man of the day, the judges, the lawyers, the legislators, those who know things, those who profess themselves to be wise without acknowledging God. Could be the guy on the street. And the reason he's on the street is because he's professing himself to be wise. But it could be the guy in the ivory tower who's got all the money in the world. Depends on how the enemy gets you. He can get you with money, or he can get you with lack of money. He can get you in the highest place, or he can get you on the street. That's no evidence of God's favor or your righteousness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They brought God down. Made God look like man. Let's just feed the poor. Feed the poor, that'll be God. Amen? Feed the poor, do unto others. Golden rule. You know, we've taught that in the schools. Well, we figured we got God in our schools, taught the golden rule. Love one another. Don't criticize. Let's just get along. They turned changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to four birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Of course, you know, they created all kinds of manners of creatures for people to worship for various things. Now we've kind of moved past that. Now we just worship man. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creator of the creature, which is more... Pardon me, let me read that again. And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leave the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one toward one another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was proper, appropriate, and fit. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Now watch this. So, verse 27-28 was just an example, or 26-28, just an example of the reprobate mind. Now, let's carry on. And even as being verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If they don't do it, they're cheering them on. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, chapter 2, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. So 26, 27, 28 is the subject of the homosexuality and sodomy, which is just an evidence. But did you read the rest of it? So therefore, it's not our job to judge somebody, to judge and condemn somebody for 26, 27, and 28, but rather to recognize that we are 29 through 31, 32. And so therefore, there is no excuse. We have no excuse or ability to stand in judgment to condemn. Doesn't mean we cannot judge and condemn action and activity based on what God's Word says and walk in love, walk in peace, and bring the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So that's our directive, is to bring the love of God and the gospel of God to everyone. To those who have been, now, all of a sudden, their activity has been blessed by our society and by those who are in charge of this these laws. And sadly, it's kind of like one guy.
Yeah.
Because the vote was 5-4. So, sadly.
So,
pray for Anthony Kennedy.
Can you share with us, we're spending a weekend with two lesbians, gay men all weekend. What? Talk to me about loving in a practical sense.
First of all, it's love. First of all, it is just love. To love and accept your person. And to just declare the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God to that individual. And now, if there comes an open door to be able to share that directly, and there should. Whether it's this weekend or, I mean, are they like out of town people or what? Local.
Lesbian couples and gay couples. It's coming up in July.
This is a great opportunity to...
I'm just wondering what this love looks like.
How do you love your other neighbors?
Sit with them, talk with them, celebrate them, make a pie.
Tell about.
And
talk about the...
Jesus when it comes up.
I mean, that's right. That's it. Exactly. Now, how do you talk to somebody who is on drugs, somebody who is involved in a behavior that is taking them away from Jesus Christ and from the presence of God? How do you address that? Forget this one. Just how are you going to deal with the rest of them? How do you deal with anybody who is maybe in any of these 29 through the rest of them? How are you going to deal with those? How do you deal with those folks? Make them a pie, have them over, love them, bless them. How did Jesus do that? How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do it? Hey, Matthew, come down out of that tree. I'm coming to your house. You know, he comes into the Pharisee's house, you know, and the woman comes in, and the woman of the night comes in. She's pouring perfume and washing your feet. What's that woman doing in here? No, leave her alone. You know, even if something is uncomfortable to somebody else. So what you do is let the Holy Spirit lead you. You filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Lord, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, let me be that vessel to declare the love of God in its entirety, which is God does not hate you. I do not hate you. But the sin that is got you in bondage is what I hate, because God says it's killing you. Huh? Amen. God said it's killing you. And so those things, you know, like, I know, like, Grace and Esther will run into people, and Grace, Esther had a great job over at like Einstein's Bagels, right? She's over somewhere else now, but it was an eye-opening experience because she had people from all walks of life, and she had met people who had lived, as you may understand what I'm saying. I mean, her age.
Huh? Because of what you're facing. And my daughter turned me on to this. Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F, if you go on YouTube and start listening to her teachings, because most of the homosexuals that I know feel like that they were born that way and that there's no way to correct that situation. But they're beginning to understand through quantum physics. And I told Roxy this 25, 30 years ago. I said, before it's all over with, the Bible will be proven true in every aspect through science. And through quantum physics, which you know I don't understand, right? But it has something to do with choices. And the homosexual who has come out of that lifestyle will be judged by other homosexuals by saying they're just covering it up because they feel guilty. They're still really what they are. But that scripture, and I'm having a hard time remembering it, what I was looking for it, in the Old Testament says that the Lord put before us a choice to choose life or to choose death, choose life. Well, the quantum physics aspect of this is they're actually seeing that in the brain, when you continually make right choices, godly choices, it actually starts changing this stuff up here. So it really is possible to be able to change that lifestyle and no longer want it anymore. And it's based on the daily choices that we make in all areas.
Sure.
You know, I'm a baby in this, okay? But she's not. And if you want to hear her, you can find her on YouTube. And she actually shows you that the Bible, that the confession of the right things from the Bible changes the DNA of the brain. It's fascinating.
If you look at this scripture again, which he says, God turned them over to a
reprobate.
What? A reprobate mind. Your mind was not reprobate to begin with, but as you follow those fleshly impulses and you refuse to repent or turn away, whether it's this one we're talking about of homosexuality or any other, you know, you begin to fall into your patterns change.
Well, we're going to face this more and more in the coming days and years. So I think we need to arm ourselves with some intelligence about the situation, not just Bible thumping, crying about this is against God, but a solution that will help them. Now, I know my choices make a difference. I know that. But they don't know that. They don't actually know that the right choices after time will actually change the DNA of the body.
Like praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Right, confession is powerful.
Yes, Dan. Let's go ahead and go to back to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Verse 1 through 11, we have the sacrifice and dedication of the temple. Let's look at verse 12. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. Again, this is the portion of scripture that we're looking at has to do with the dedication of the temple, and that's where this scripture we're so familiar with is talking about. All right? So, now, look at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now, that we're talking about a physical building in that day. Where are we talking about today? You and me. We're talking about in us. This is you. Your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a perpetual house for God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, one, pray, two, seek my face, three, turn from their wicked ways. There's four things. Four things right there. How many of you are good at humbling yourself? Not really. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. All of these things is we have to cry out to God. All of those four, we have to cry out to God to let Him come to us and cause us to walk with Him. Amen? All we can do is see that we have failed. Amen? You see that you've failed. God, let me be transformed by your presence, by your indwelling presence. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, quickly, 1 Kings chapter 15, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9 through 15. 1 Kings chapter, if you want to write it down, you can do that. And just we'll move on. 1 Kings 15. And in the 20th year, verse 9, of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. You maybe got two kingdoms going on simultaneously. You got the kingdom of Israel and you got the kingdom of Judah. Judah and Benjamin, and then Israel's the rest of the tribes. And they've become separated. Israel broke away when Rehoboam was king. The son of Solomon was king. Rehoboam and his son was the king of all of Israel. Israel broke away, those 10 tribes. Heard of the 10 tribes, right? Okay. Named Jeroboam the king. From that point on, they're kind of, these stories go throughout the books of the Kings and the books of the Chronicles kind of in tandem. All right? So you need to read carefully who's king of what as you're reading along. You know, well, I thought this guy was king. Well, you got to remember who's king, where he's king at. Verse 9, and in the 20th year of Jeroboam, who happened to be the king of Israel, Asa reigned over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem as Judah. So Jerusalem is the capital of Judah. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. And he removed the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord in all his days. All right? Now, having read, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and the vessels. All right, now, so we have a leader here who has made a decision and a righteous decision to make transformation in the nation. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord for righteous leaders. Mm-hmm. When the righteous rule, the people? Rejoice. And when the wicked rule, the people?
Groan.
That's right. Hopefully you're groaning before the Lord. Amen. But just your flesh is just like, oh Lord. I mean, didn't you just, you know, when that decision came, didn't you just go, oh, you just kind of groaned. It's just like, oh Lord, you know, how can this be? And now, look at quickly Romans 13. Romans 13, chapter verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, governments, they're ordained by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. That they resist, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We're talking about those things which they are enforcing, which God has said, these are things that need to be enforced. What? Like murder, like stealing, like, you know, those things. That's what governments are for, to stop wicked behavior.
Amen.
And they that resist, him as the minister of God. For rulers are not a terror to what?
Good works.
Good works, but to evil works. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? In other words, will you disrespect God's government? God's minister? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister, the servant of God, to thee for what?
Good.
He is the minister of thee, to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. That is jail, guns, whatever, you know, whatever tools he has in his box to enforce the law. So law enforcement is not against God. So you got people who are hating police and all that nonsense. That's not about God. God set that in place. Right? All right? Now, however, so he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must be subject not only for wrath, but also for what? Conscience. In other words, because God said so. And pay your next verse says pay your taxes. All right? Finally, let's look over at 1 Timothy, and then we'll talk about it for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, Paul says, that there, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, now, so we have talked about how righteous leaders cause a nation to rejoice. Righteous leaders get rid of sodomites. That's what he did. That was the interesting part of the story. Which was a devastation to the nation. Get rid of idols. All right? Every nation that has allowed homosexuality to become pervasive has declined. Ancient Greece, ancient Rome, all societies which have brought and allowed these. I mean, we haven't done this for 2,000 years. You know, Christianity has, by and large, been the reigning morality over the last, you know, 1,500 years. Now that is declining. And Rome and Greece are on the ascendancy again. So today, what do we do? What about the poor Anthony Kennedy? What are we going to do? Crucify him. Crucify him! No. No, we pray for him. Amen?
Amen?
He's been our friend in some cases, in some of these things. But obviously, that guy is going to be crucified, number one, because if you got a 5-4 decision, and the guy is on one side, that side hates him and that side loves him, or the other way around. So God is doing in you and me, as believers, a work to walk in love toward our elected officials and to those that are walking in sin and wickedness. Amen? Isn't that true? So what do we do with this decision? We pray and we walk with God. And we know that God is moving on our behalf to declare the gospel to those who need to hear Jesus, to those who are without hope. Amen? So again, we could go on and on. But again, hopefully you got the scriptures that we talked about today. Genesis 2 and 3, Romans chapter 1, 2 Chronicles 7, Romans 13, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Kings 15. God's doing great things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Were you blessed today?
Yes.
Are you encouraged? Because don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Today is no different than yesterday. Today is no different than yesterday. God is still on the throne. And He's still on the throne in your heart. Amen? Father, we just praise You. Thank You for what You're doing in us. Father, we thank You. We love all of those who are participant in these decisions that were made. We love them because, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And we ask You, Lord God, to minister by Your Spirit to cause us to be effective ministers of the good news, of the love of God and the gospel of God, to deliver those who are bound by wickedness, bound by sin, bound by those things which are destroying their lives, and cause them to walk in righteousness, hope, and peace. And let us be tools of Yours to bring those things to pass. We give You all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, thank You for the ministry of the saints to one another. As we give today, thank You, Lord God, for Your great blessing and Your fulfillment of everything that we need. And we give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.